Hello and welcome to Booktopia On. I'm Bronwyn.
I'm John.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're asking an important question. Why read? So on the 20th of September, it's Australian Reading Hour. And if you don't know what that is, basically it's a celebration of reading.
Where everybody for 1 hour on that day should stop what they're doing and read a book.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great excuse to get out of work. Be like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm participating in Australian Reading Hour.
So, John, in the middle of the work day on the 20th of September...
We're going to stop.
I will be taking an hour out of my day to read a book.
It's called lunch.
No, that's for eating.
Yeah.
It's a whole separate thing.
So, Thursday, 20th of September.
Yes. Yeah. And I just wanted to start with this really nice quote from Judy Nunn that was on the Australian Reading Hour website, because she's the ambassador for this year. And she says, "Not only am I privileged enough to share my stories with the world, but I love reading. The world's characters and emotions created by a good book is unrivaled. It's the perfect escape from the everyday. I'm thrilled to be involved with the Australian Reading Hour for 2018 and hope to share my love of reading with everyone."
Oh, Judy Nunn.
Judy Nunn, who we've met.
That's awesome.
And she's a lovely lady, an amazing author, and just like her, we're so thrilled to be celebrating it because for us, every day is we have millions of answers to why read. You know, we see the books.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the answer is because I said so, but, like...
Well, for people who maybe need a little more than just Sarah being really mean...
I'm not being mean, and I'm not even saying that it's me that says so. It's, like, the thing that, you know, the answer that parents give when you have to do something because it's good for you.
God, I said so.
Yeah, but for a lot of kids, that's the... especially if they don't see their parents reading, they're like, you're not doing it, I'm not doing it.
I feel so, thanks Mum and Dad, who never listen to this, but like, thanks Mum and Dad for always reading because I never had that problem.
Well, this is the thing. So if you spend your time reading in bed only and all the weekend, you're doing stuff, you're watching TV, you're working around the house, doing bits and pieces, the kids are in and out, and not once have you sat down in front of them and read as a pastime kind of thing. You hide in your bedroom where other things are meant to happen and you read, right? The kids don't see you reading.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't see it. So you could be the greatest reader in the world because you read 3 hours every night.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're not actually doing it during the day...
I don't know. I think in my house my poor parents had no privacy. So even if they had only exclusively read in their bedroom, we'd still all know about it.
No, but, you know what I mean. You go to bed, like, at 6 or 7 o'clock when you're young.
Yeah.
And... then,
but parents will be surely reading to their
no,
children.
No, this is the whole point.
I'm They're sure they are.
No, a lot of them aren't.
Everyone I know who has a little kid reads to them.
That was going to be one of my questions. Yeah. Did you guys get read to as
100%.
No, I was raised by TV. Fantastic.
Which explains your stunted
childhood reading.
That's right. Yeah. All of those wasted years that you can remember.
The 70s was just impossible. Yeah.
I mean, I won't lie.
There weren't books in the 70s.
TV was definitely involved in my child rearing.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, I think
a healthy balance is good.
Yeah, but
is good.
Definitely reading. Like, I feel bad because I'm sure that Mom read to us a lot. Like, I know that she must have, but my memories are mostly of my dad reading to us because it was the thing that he did. Like, he would come home from work and read us all, like, books and then go to bed. So that was our, like, special, amazing dad time with the parent who's not around as much. So it sticks in your mind more often. Whereas poor Mom, who I'm sure read us a million books.
You're like, here she goes again.
As much. Yeah.
I don't actually remember. I'm sure that I was read to as a child, but I don't remember because I have a bad memory.
I just hunted down a book, actually, that my mum read to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I hunted down everywhere for it. It's out of print because I'm so emotionally attached. Yeah, so I do remember Mum reading to me.
There you go.
But it's so, I mean, honestly, I love you, Mum. If there is anyone out there who doesn't think they need to read to their child, and I feel like parenting these days is so, like, the amount of parenting blogs and books that are written about parenting and everyone's so, like, on it, like, and everyone's...
Maybe they're on their phone reading the blogs and everything, not actually reading
them. Maybe. Do you think? Do you really think there's parents out there not reading to their little... Am I living in a fantasy world?
Yeah, I think you are. How easy is it to give a kid an iPad and go,
I've got to say, I hate that. I'd rather just shove them outside and be like, don't come back until dinner.
First of all, I really don't think there is any need for a child to even look at a screen until they're two. Like,
so you are delusional.
Until they're two.
Yeah, I am delusional.
You're absolutely delusional.
I got to say, I'm totally on Sarah's side because I already have books in my collection that are not for me, that are for my future children. I won a bunch of books last year, and it was a big mix, and there are a lot of kids' books in there that, I mean, I like reading kids' books, but I literally looked at them and went, oh, good, I'm going to keep these for one day when I have my kids. And sure, they'll be quite dated, but these look, they're beautiful, they're entertaining, they're funny, and I've literally just kept them because I want to have books on the ready when I have kids.
So I'm like the aunt who has all the books. I have a pile of children's books in my house, and like every time I'm going to visit my nieces, I'll like take two with me. But the pile never diminishes.
Well,
like,
didn't you say to me once that you know you're sort of morphing out of the buying them toys and you're sort of gonna?
No, I purposely tried to morph out of buying them books because there were too many books.
There's no such thing.
One of them said to me, it turns out my sister-in-law had to give away a lot of the books because there were too many because of the steady stream.
Right.
But I was, yeah, so I tried to buy them toys for a while, but no.
So I'm a modern, I'm like 5 to 7, and I've got access to iPad, I've got outdoors, I've got making mess, I've got
you
screaming.
You should have caught them before they're 5.
But I've got all this stuff, right? Why should I read?
Because you should have been being read to from day dot. So if you're reading to them before all of that stuff and you make it fun and you get that love of books in them when they're literally a like newborn baby from the minute they're out of the womb, they make books especially for that. There are books made especially for newborn children that are all in black and white shapes because that's what you can process at that age.
When I think about my childhood and the things that have stuck with me over the years in terms of, you know, why read, John, I mean, I remember the shows that I watched. I remember the video games that I played. I remember playing outside, you know, playing Spy with my friends and all that.
Where
kind
are
of
books
stuff.
Coming into this? But I'm getting nervous.
No, I'm getting there. But I've got to say the most powerful memories have always been from the books that, not all the books I read, but just a few of them that made an impact. And I feel like because whether it's read to by, you know, your mum or something, or you read by yourself, I feel like when you make a connection with a book, it feels like such a private, personal thing. Even though other people read them too, and you know that, I feel like on some level, there's this one book I remember reading as a kid, and for years I couldn't find it. I've managed to find it. I was very excited. And I don't really remember much about the plot. I didn't even remember the author's name, but I remember the feeling that it gave me as a kid. And to be honest, it was a sad feeling because it was kind of a sad story.
But it sticks with you.
But it stuck with me way more than, you know, a sad movie or a happy
because
or a fun movie.
Because that's what books do. And to answer your question, John, the 5-year-old kid, there's nothing kids like more than attention. Like, I honestly think a kid is hungrier for attention than it is for any iPad screen. And when you are reading a book to a child, you're doing something with them and giving them your attention and involving them in something that you can do together, which is always going to trump a screen. So yeah, if you hand a kid a book and you hand a kid an iPad, they'll choose the iPad.
Yeah.
But if you say, let's read this book together, I think that would win.
Who has time for that?
I
make
hope
time.
Parents.
If you're going to have kids, please have time to read to them.
That's why it's hard to be a parent.
Yeah.
You have to make the time. I have some stats that are from the Australian Reading Hour website.
Let's hear some numbers.
Let's hear some numbers. Okay. So, you read because increasing literacy and numeracy skills has a positive and significant effect on jobs. There you go. Reading reduces stress by 68%, relieving stress more quickly than listening to music.
I 100% believe that.
Yes.
Because you know how...
What if it's a stressful book?
It's a different kind of stress. Yeah, like, you know when you come home from work, and this is the greatest battle of to read or not to read for me happens when I get home from work and I'm tired.
Yes.
And I want to wind down.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I feel like doing is, like engaging in something else. I just want entertainment to wash over me like a beautiful television. Yeah, like just switch on the TV and let it happen, and I just can passively accept it. However, when I don't do that and when I win that battle with myself and instead pick up a book, I always end up feeling more relaxed, winding down more quickly, having a better sleep that night. It just...
I think it's everything stills when you're reading a book, whereas when the TV's going or you're running around doing something, it's noise, it's sound, it's movement. But when you're in a book, it's all in your mind. And so you get...
Things get quiet,
your body settles.
And it activates that part of... the part of your brain that... it's just good.
To me, it actually activates all the parts of the brain and moves them off the things that I've been stressing about.
And completely immerses it.
So the better the book, the more of the brain you're using. And in the same way that you would in
life, except
you're moved away from your own issues to someone else's issues.
That's exactly what it is. Because let's be honest, how often have you put on a TV show and then also been on your phone?
Yeah,
or also
exactly.
TV doesn't grab you the way a book does.
Perfect example this morning, four reasons. I was very stressed when I got in the car to drive to work. And I put on... the audiobook I'm listening to, which is Sleeping Beauties by Stephen and Owen King. And for that blissful 45-minute drive to work, I completely forgot about what was worrying me. And I was just in the story and I was, oh my God, this is crazy. And the second I turned it off, it all came flooding back. And so I feel like...
Because it occupies your whole mind.
Yeah.
You have to concentrate. Yeah, absolutely.
My trips to work through the horrors of Sydney traffic have been completely changed since I just started...
I agree.
Yeah, music won't do it.
No, music does not do it.
I used to love it. Music now, you think about how stressful the traffic is. You think about what's stressing you. But the second an audiobook comes on for me, I do forget. And suddenly I'm like, oh, I'm home already. That was so fast.
Because books are
transported. I'm a monster in between audiobooks. Like if I put music on for a couple of days, I'm the worst person in the world.
Road rage comes back.
Yeah, it comes back. Yeah. And I don't even remember the trips anymore. All I remember is the book.
Same. Oh, my God, me too.
When I'm probably driving over people and doing all this stuff as I'm going along.
I mean, we're still concentrating, everyone. We're still... I'll just assure
both
you
both eyes on the road.
Both feet up on the dashboard,
Cup of tea.
Listening to my favourite book.
Okay, so some more stats. Let's just read some more facts out. Okay, so children who know adults who read for pleasure take it for granted that reading is valuable.
That's what we were just saying.
It's also a bit of bullshit.
You think it's not true?
Yes, I'm calling it.
Okay, John's about to deep
I do absolutely believe that having a reading environment, like in a household where people value reading, is definitely much likelier to actually create a reader.
Yeah.
Much likelier. But there are other, peers are so influential on what kids like. The parents... I don't think it's as important.
Yeah,
I think it's
but
more
you're
of the peers.
Later in life. You got to establish all this stuff when they're too little, before they even have peers.
Yeah, but they go in and out. Like kids go in and out of being readers, and they can be absolute dulls, and parents are talking, oh, he's a wonderful reader. And then they
come out of it.
Then they come out of it, and they don't touch a book for 4 years or something.
That was me as a kid. That was definitely me.
That's very true, and that happens to everyone. And it happened, that happened. I went through a stage where I didn't read much. But if you see, I think that you were so lucky to have grown up not being a reader, gone all the way through school without getting that reading bug, lit a flame, and then to discover it yourself. I don't think that would happen very often. But weren't you raised with books?
I was, but I, as you described it, the flame was not there until I started here.
Okay.
I've got to say.
I just think, on average, if you have instilled it in your kid when they're really little and throughout their whole, childhood and early years, then they can stray, they can do whatever they want, they can have a nightmare phase in their teens where they never look at a book. But eventually, because it's inbuilt and programmed deep, it'll come back.
I was jealous of books. I mean, my father was very much the reader kind of father.
Yeah.
And we were very much like, come play cricket, come on, do it, come on, wanting to do stuff. And we're
books
like,
books are your enemy.
Yeah, books are the enemy. I mean, I remember there was a toddler that I got to know, and he hated it when I was reading. And he would take the book and throw it over the balcony. And whenever I was, so then I would focus back on him.
Can we just go back to this toddler I used to know? Is this a member of your family or just someone you met on the street? No, yeah, look, that goes back to what I was saying before, though. It's not that you should, if you're reading in front of your kids, that's fine, but also reading to them. no matter what it is that you're reading, if you involve them in it. Like, do you think that, like, I swear to God, 6 or 7 year old kids should have any interest in PG Woodhouse? My dad read it to me and I loved it because it was my dad reading it to me.
Here's a stat for you to go with that. It was found by the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research that reading to children 6 to 7 days a week puts them almost a year ahead of those who are not being read to.
I 100% believe that.
I agree with that.
I repeat it, so there you go.
John!
I went backwards.
See, no reading, bad effect.
No, I didn't read at all as a kid. None. Like, the only thing you get me to read was a comic at most.
Yeah. I read on and off, but mum was a big reader, always has been. And I do think that has, in retrospect, had a very positive influence on me. But I kind of had two competing. I had mum, who loved to read, and dad, who has not read a book in his entire life. Seriously. Mm. Which is sad.
I don't know. Maybe we live in a little bubble here because we're all book obsessed.
We're all book obsessed. It feels like
the whole world should be book obsessed. And to me, here the idea that there are parents out there who aren't reading to their kids every day is like hearing that people aren't feeding their kids every day.
There are 25 million Australians right now, yeah?
Yeah.
We just clicked over to 25 million. And a bestseller, like, even if we talk about Scott Pape, he sold 1 million copies in Australia. And that's a ridiculous amount of books to sell.
Yeah.
So he's 1/25th of Australians are reading that book, which is not a big number. And if you're an average bestseller, 30,000 copies is cool enough to be a really good bestseller in Australia. 30,000 copies going out to 25 million people. This is why reading out is so important. Is we actually got to drive people to actually get back into the habit of it.
Yeah.
To stop. Even just half an hour of reading every day is enough. And audiobooks, as much as, you know, this crazy busy world that we're in is driving us towards those sort of things, in traffic, on buses, the rest of it, listening to audiobooks. They've got to be good because they've got to be reminding people of just how in-depth books can go and how much you get involved in them. So that would probably be a gateway drug to a physical book, I would think. And taking it on holiday, when you might not have taken a book, you might have done something else.
Or just prioritizing it, because if I had a dollar for every time someone said to me that they wish that they read more, they just don't have enough time. We've done a podcast on this.
There's always time.
There's always time. You just have to prioritize it and make the time. And, you know, last night I got home, didn't get home till just before 9. And after dinner and a shower, I could have just gone to bed or I could have just watched TV, but I decided. Yeah, I did almost a little two-page one.
Just read 2 pages. That's all you have to do. No one's saying you have to read a whole book.
And then I ended up reading 70 pages before I went to bed.
Yeah, it's extraordinary what effect reading can have. Like we've had Osher and we've had Matt Hagen here in the last little while, and then we're talking about anxiety and different mental health issues. And reading just keeps coming up as one of the tools people use to either not be themselves for a while, shut that head up for a bit and concentrate on something else.
Mm.
And a book will do that. It will drive you to it. And I've had experience with people who, go through months and months without reading and are really anxious and really nervy and really...
And they read one book.
And suddenly they're like,
it's so true. It has so many benefits, like mental health-wise. It has so many benefits, like when you are reading consistently, your vocabulary increases.
Mm-hmm.
You have better comprehension, better empathy because you're constantly in the heads of other characters.
Self-esteem as well.
Yeah, and it's something that you can feel good about doing. Mm. Unlike when you've watched an hour of TV and all you really thought, like, you can't really walk away from that being like, good on me.
Yeah, but if you read a book, absolutely, I agree. Yeah.
Even now, after reading all my adult life, I still get to the end of the book and go, I feel a little bit chuffed. I finished a book.
Yeah, me too.
I've been selling books for 25 years and I still get it. Because
reading is an action in a way that watching isn't.
TV is very passive in a way, yeah.
Yeah, when you finish a book, you've achieved something. When you finish a show, you've sat there long enough to let the show happen.
And you see that on Instagram and social media so often with people showing the piles they've just read.
Yeah.
I read all these this month. Woohoo!
And I mean, no one, I mean, at least I don't see it on social media of someone, you know, holding up a DVD in front of their television being like, I just watched this, it was so amazing. It's like, maybe occasionally, sure, but not really. But you always see people doing it with books.
Always with books.
And people are, you don't, I literally once took a bunch of books into the city, to the Chinese Gardens, to take pictures of the books in beautiful spots. No one would ever do that with DVDs. And I mean, I'm sure everybody thought I was crazy, but I think I would
Please
be more crazy.
Please tell me you read them all.
But, you know, I would look even more crazy if I had been doing that with DVDs or
yeah,
trinkets
I mean,
or something.
Well,
know.
And that ties back to books as objects. But also reading is like exercise for your mind in a way that other forms of entertainment aren't. And we're so increasingly, as a society, getting obsessed with physical health. And so much about what you eat and how you exercise and stuff. It kind of baffles me that mental health hasn't had the same, like, I think it's starting, but we don't devote ourselves to it as much as we should. And people should be taking their reading as seriously as their gym time.
Well, I always feel that people, an unoccupied mind eats itself from within. And this is the thing. And I think that it's like having that hole in the tooth thing when your tongue just keeps going back to it. If you've got nothing else to occupy you, your brain just keeps going back to the point you least likely want to think about.
Mm-hmm. And eating itself.
Yeah, and eating itself. And it's just, and I, you know, wanting to know more. Like any question, like we Google stuff and we get these quick little answers or something, blah, 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 and we move on. But it's not nearly as satisfying actually going and reading a book about that particular subject, getting a much fuller brief on. You know, if it maybe someone's talking about Napoleon and you've gone, yeah, I know Napoleon. Actually, I don't know anything about Napoleon. And then going, one of my favorite books and a book that I'll probably keep reading the rest of my life because every time I read it, I forget all the good bits, is Bill Bryson's History of Nearly Everything. It's a book for anyone who has ever wanted to know stuff but just can't be asked.
Yeah, you have to go and research 1,000 different books. Just read that book.
I love those books.
And it covers so much. And I've gone through my reading life looking for those kind of books. And I jump from one of these books to the next because they compile all this information into such a little tiny space. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, when you're a kid, you dreamt, instead of going to school, why don't you just give me an injection of knowledge?
That was the dream.
And these books are like that. These books are those things where I just go, voomp, ahead in one little area.
And suddenly you know, like, a lot across a broad topic.
Exactly. There's general books on history. There's general books on science. There's general books on philosophy. Mm. Just bring everything together. Little biographies of writers that I've read in little clumps.
Mm.
They're really fast-track.
As well as being positive for, you know, education and mental health and stress and all that, I did a post on social media over the weekend. That was just one of those funny memes that was, you know, bookish problems. I really wish that reading books burned as many calories as exercise. And so we got all these funny comments from people. And someone said, and I wonder how true this is, but I reckon it is. She said, I just read an article that compared different types of activities and the calories they burn. In 30 minutes of reading, you would burn 42 calories. In 30 minutes of running, you would burn 298 calories. The answer is simple. Read for 3.5 hours and you will burn the same amount of calories as someone running for 30 minutes. Easy.
Oh my God, that's
and
the
so
best
for those
thing
of us
ever
who
heard.
Hate running, aka me and I think you
just
too
read
as well.
For 3 hours instead.
Exactly, and you'll have burnt the same amount, plus you'll come away more educated and feeling accomplished as well. Boom.
I think you've just solved all of my problems.
Oh, thanks.
About
good.
Lack of motivation to exercise.
Just read heaps, Sarah. Read every night, 3.5 hours. So I just wanted to finish with though. Australian Reading Hour, Thursday, 20th September. What is the book that you are going to read? For that hour.
Hilariously, how am I going to answer that? I don't know what great books I might get between now and then.
I know it's hard because we could get something and change our mind completely of what we want to read in the next order. But is there something that's on your shelf that, because for me, I think a book that I've been dipping in and out of because it's such a heavy book, but I love it. I think I might read La Mort d'Arthur by Sir Thomas Malory. And then for an hour, read some of that and sort of.
I'm going to read Clarissa.
Oh,
I'm gonna love Clarissa.
You'll get through the
work.
First 2 pages.
Yeah,
that'll be 2 pages more of that book than I've ever read.
What about you, John? Anything?
Well, I've got so many books that I'm because we've got so many wonderful authors coming in.
Yeah.
So there'll be I want to read Di Morris's book before she comes in. There's a whole range of people that are coming in.
So you can be reading any of those books.
Yeah, all those books. I'll
we'll
be
just have
dipping
to wait
into
to
all
find
them.
Out. Even.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
when you have a few interviews lined up as the end of the
do you
end of the
I
year
think,
it comes.
I think Australian Reading Hour should be non-work related reading.
And that's why I picked mine. Mm-hmm.
Non-work. Non-work.
What's one, John?
Goodness. Get your mind out of the front list.
I was thinking, I've never read Barry Lyndon by Thackeray, so that might be the one.
Well, okay. I think that's your work.
There you go.
So if I'm going to break my back carrying Clarissa to work.
Oh, well, I'll also break my back because L'Amour d'Arthur is massive as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Deal.
Done. Okay, everybody, let us know online on Thursday, 20th September, what you're reading. You know, take a photo, tag, hashtag reading hour, tag us. We'd love to see what you're reading. And we'll catch you next Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.